All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F-Yeah Friday on the Good Neighbor Show. We call The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Joel, Nick, somewhere still
chilling,
floundering in the water of Corpus Christi.
You think he's floundering?
I don't think he's in the water at all.
No?
I think he's in the outlet mall with his mom. Oh.
That didn't sound very nice.
Well, it's not meant to be mean, but when mom wants to go to Corpus, there's plenty to be seen, and I don't think she wants to get under an umbrella and run her toes in the sand the entire time they're there.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
All right. Save this for me, Harrison.
Harrison Lerner is in for one Nick Sciarra, who is enjoying some, according to who you speak to, time off, we'll just call it. But Barry and I are present and accounted for. It's an FEF Friday. We've got a comedian already in lined up for you with even a special appearance by said comedian on an FEF Friday for funny.
Yeah, Del Cheeseman's going to join us on the show at 3:15. Well, he's gonna call in at 3:30. There's no clip for 3:15 because he's going to join us. But we'll have clips, for Del, from at 1:15 and 2:15. You may have heard him if you're a regular listener to Doug Loves Movies, the podcast from Doug Benson. He's been on the Whiskey Brothers podcast. And the big news, I've been wanting to feature Del for a while because he's super talented, super funny, one of the smarter, funnier comedians to come out of the city in a long time. Actually, I think he's moving to New York pretty soon, so I have a feeling he's going to break because he's already got some industry connects. But him and his grandma went viral, so we'll have that story. I wanted Del to come on and tell the story about it, but pretty funny the way it all happened, so it should be a good day.
So good day for him, good day for us, in the fact that he's got some H-Town ties, but if he blows up big, remember who helped get him there, we're just going to take full credit for it.
Yeah,
that's the way we do things okay. Around here anyway. So in the meantime, before we get into the brass tacks of things, anything happened in the last 24 hours that I might have missed with either one of you guys?
I mean, not me. I didn't do much. I went home and didn't even finish watching that Astros game because I was like...
I stuck it out.
I didn't even see the Altuve homer. I gave up in the fifth.
Wow, you did bow out early.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the lab, make some beats. I'm bored with this.
Beats by Dr. B. Yeah. Continue to go on the drum machine.
Did it rain where you were?
It rained a little bit, but it wasn't anything.
A lot of rain again. I wasn't expecting it. I was like, man, what this weather? I don't know. I tweeted this the other day, but this is how I know I'm old. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I'm 44. All I talk about now is the weather
and your yard
and my yard and the price of meat. That's it.
Oh yeah, you did tweet that.
That is all I talk about, and that's how I know I'm an old ass man. Because like when I call my dad, hey, well, it's hot, isn't it? Like that's always yeah. Boy, what'd your temperature gauge say? Like I have a weather station. That's the old man stuff going on. So yeah, and then we talk about the price of ribeyes and brisket. It's just, I'm like, God, I don't want to be this old. I thought I was old when I started listening to AM radio back in the day. And I was in my 20s. I started listening to AM talk, right? Sports talk.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, FM, ESPN was even around.
Back when Charlie was breaking into business.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm old. No, that was ham radio.
Oh,
but I'm like, man, I'm old listening to AM sports talk radio. But now I know I'm officially old. So.
Okay. Yeah. Harrison, you survived your first day. Did you have all these grandiose ideas coming into today of things to make it better?
No, I thought we had a really good show, you know, just other than cleaning it up, keeping it nice and clean, and then just excited for all this World Cup action we got today.
Oh, my God.
That would make one of the three of us.
I think Neymar flopped during the anthem. He just fell down. They were all in a line.
Did you guys see that?
Hand over the heart. He just fell down.
I mean, it was one thing to be a little egregious with the hit by a sniper acting, but the way he did it, and then when someone like... When the guy just barely grazed stepping on his ankle and he went nuts. I saw like a junior soccer team that was doing their drills yes. And they all at the same time started to do the whole Neymar writhing in pain roll.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's funny. Do the Neymar.
Yeah.
And then you just flop around like a fish.
Yeah, so I mean,
I'm going to go find a gif of a fish like on a dock and just be like, here's a live look at Neymar.
Stephen A. might be able to find you a Mimi.
Yeah, a Mimi. That's right.
It's a genuine possibility.
That's right. So, hey, you look fancy. What's up?
That'll last for all of about seven more minutes. Yeah, we got a little behind schedule. I won't say what. Yes. No, I was here on time.
I mean, what's on time? I was in my seat at 1 o'clock when the show started.
Yeah, I was here at noon.
Okay.
As Harrison can vouch for, and then had to wait my turn to get in the studio to shoot a sports map hot take.
Oh.
And let's just say that the wait was a little extra specially long today. So,
really? Who was ahead of you?
I'm not going to name any names, Mindy. But at the same time, it was fine. It was worth it. She was concentrating on breaking down the body issue.
Oh, really?
For Sports Illustrated. So, yeah, I was waiting for that.
And okay.
I had to get that done before the show because I don't
want... Why?
Because after the show, it's Friday. I want people to be able to go home and not have to worry about it. And they want to get it on the site by the weekend.
How many videos a week do you do?
Two.
You do two videos?
Two. Yeah. And then the one column a week we all have to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a go-getter. Well, I was going to say something else, but you're a go-getter.
You can say that in the break. yeah, but you know, it's like...
What was the video about?
Today was all about the fact that from the combination of Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fans that have gone way over the top all week and getting mad that we're honest about the fact that the Rockets have had a less than eventful...
So you're basing it off of one guy's tweet.
No, I've got several.
Oh,
I got several. Yeah, because okay. And I even broke it down yesterday because I said, look, rational Rockets fan realizes that there's still plenty of time for Daryl and the front office to be able to pull the moves necessary to do the things to add to this team. But irrational Rockets fan, all they do is hear anybody say anything other than the Rockets are going to win the championship next year, and they go completely off the deep end, and they want to take personal shots at you and threaten your kids and your dogs and do all different kinds of things. And there's a place to meet in the middle because essentially, to this point, it could be no other way to categorize their offseason than disappointing. But at the same time, we're still in July. So there's plenty of things that can be done. But the Capella situation is what it all revolves around. And the fact of the matter is, from what the people that I've talked to, he's not happy because they came to him and they lowballed him with their first offer. Now, if you're the Rockets, that's a smart move. Because
that's how you negotiate.
You're not bidding against yourselves. So you go lowball and then say, okay, otherwise go out and get a better offer and then we'll be sitting here at the end of the day and we can match it. But they do have to be aware of the fact that there are still plenty of teams out there that aren't as fond of Daryl Morey as the Red Nation Kool-Aid drinking crowd, and they want to give the Rockets a poison pill. So a team like Atlanta, which I know for certain is still contemplating a move for Capella, could give him that max offer that we talked about that could be coming, and that could give the Rockets some issues. Not that they're going to be, you know, in a no-win situation, but... Again, they want as much cap flexibility as possible, and a max deal for Capella doesn't exactly set the table for that to happen, at least right away.
No, but the flip side of that is teams have to be careful about offering Capella a max deal if they're just trying to screw the Rockets, because the Rockets might be like, okay, pay him the max then.
Yeah, I don't
know.
And
now what?
Now the Rockets swear they're going to
Capella at a max deal.
Yeah, well, and the Rockets swear they're going to give him whatever. They're going to match whatever.
Mm.
And based on the Paul salary, Harden salary, you know, you lose Ariza and you still have to replace him some way or another. And if you just believe PJ Tucker slides in the starting lineup, I'm fine with that, but you have to replace a valuable piece of the rotation. And then you still have Luka Bamute floating out there. And in some of the latest lists that are out there with both restricted and unrestricted free agents, Clint Capella is number one left on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
Luka Bamute is in the top 10. So you've got some challenges just to bring back your own before you start to address the fact that you have to replace Ariza. I missed it over the weekend. And I even tweeted that yesterday, which got some fire both ways. But the thing is, Jeff Green, who I threw out there as a guy that would be great, 1 year, $2.5 million from the Wizards. You don't think that that's an adequate replacement for Trevor Ariza, who left to make 15?
Yeah, they missed on that if they didn't try to get it. And who knows what they did or if they did.
Right.
But, there's not the small forward market.
It's drying up, man.
Pretty quickly, too. I mean, you look at it, James Ennis, Richard Jefferson, Michael Beasley, Luke Babbitt.
The guy that I like is Rodney Hood, but he's restricted, which means Cleveland would basically have a decision to make. And if they are all out trying to tank and restart, maybe that you work out some kind of a sign-in trade to get him. But
well,
Rodney Hood is
shooting guard,
is a, he's long enough to play the three, especially in the Rocket system, yeah, because they play so much in transition up and down. But at the same time, he's young and talented enough that he's going to warrant a salary in double figures, more like 10-plus instead of...
Going back to the centers,
yeah,
I was looking at, all right, what are the available free agents? And they have the restricted and unrestricted free agents. So restricted free agents that are left is Capella, obviously, at number one. Mm-hmm. Yusef Nurkic out of Portland and Jahlil Okafor out of Brooklyn. So that's your restricted free agent. So if you wanted to make a run for one of them, obviously those teams could choose to match.
Right.
The unrestricted free agents that are left is Brooke Lopez, Al Jefferson, Cole Aldrich, Greg Monroe. Stop me when you hear something you like.
Greg Monroe's decent, but he's not Clint Capella.
Alex Len, Zsa Pachulia, and Lucas Nogueira.
You basically said Greg Monroe in my mind.
Yes.
And that's about it.
So, but to your point, that's why you're saying that it's a slippery slope with Capella, because if you choose to, if Atlanta does say, all right, we'll give him the max, and the Rockets look at that list and go, well, do you want to go after a Greg Monroe at a discount versus what you would pay Capella? Because you got to look at the value for what you're paying for. Mm-hmm. Greg Monroe might be cheaper, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's a better fit. So
you're
for
right,
your value.
Because right. The system is so important. Because like Nurkic is a highly talented center, but Nurkic has to have a very defined system. He can't run the pick and roll and the alley-oop the way Capella can. Yeah. And in this system, you either got to do what Capella does or you got to be a three-point shooter. He can't shoot the three. He's not that athletic to be doing the pick and rolls and the alley-oops. So you basically have to change your offensive system if you want that guy, because he needs touches on the post and the low block.
Yep.
That's not what the Rockets offense is predicated on.
No, and let's do this, because I know we're going to go to break, but next segment, let's get all the Melo talk out of the way.
Oh, yeah,
because
that went down today, so yeah.
I don't want to do that all day for 3 hours. Let's just get it all. Everybody, if you have feelings about Melo to the Rockets, good or bad, you can call next segment, because I don't want to spend 6 segments on Carmelo Anthony and the Rockets. I just don't want to do that. People are already tweeting, like, if I have to listen to that, I'm changing the channel. And I'm with them, because we'll break it down. But it's just, let's not do that all day.
So we're just getting started with Carmelo Radio on an F Yeah Friday.
I hate you so much.
Line it all up and let's let it fly. It is the usual suspects. If you want to reach the show, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. That's the number you can call and text, or you can hit us directly on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and take us home, Harris.
At Harrison the Prod.
Harrison the Prod.
A G.
No, just Prod.
Oh. Okay.
That could be used at the Mann Center. That could be used at a kebab festival.
No, what?
You're not.
What?
Okay. We'll be back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Born in Johannesburg, South Africa. Surprise, bitches. From birth to two. So I'm South African American, or just African American. I'm fine with either. It's cool. I like it. I was born in the gated community of Africa, which is, if y'all don't get that, South Africa, they used to have like a super racist policy. Like super racist, called the apartheid, separated white people and black people. They brought it down eventually, but there were still a lot of social and racial scars left over. So to avoid all of that tension, my dad packed up our family and moved us to the American South. I was expecting a little bit of culture shock, you know? Felt a little too home sweet homey for me.
There we are.
There you go. We know it's an FEF Friday. That is F for Funny. That's our comedian of the week. That's Dale Cheeseman. Barry gave you a little bit of the background last segment, but you can catch him 1:15 there at 1:15, again at 2:15, and then a special treat as he will join us live on the phone.
The funny thing about that hour. The funny thing about that clip is Dale is white, and when he does the bit where he's like, "Yeah, I'm from South Africa," surprise, bitches, I'm South African American or African American, whatever. And then he goes over and he fist bumps a black dude in the front row. And it is, that's the funniest, but you can't see that. It's still a funny joke, but the fact that he fist bumps a black dude in the front row, and then he starts talking about his lust for white girls. It's so that's funny. Awesome. Yeah, and then he goes back and he fist bumps the black dude again when he does that. He's like, white girls, man, there's just something about them. And then it's great, man. I love Dale. So, yeah, it's going to be fun at 3:30. I'm excited about him calling in.
Good stuff. Glad to have him be a part of the show, both with those clips and, of course, joining us, as Barry said. So that should be a lot of fun. So you opened up the can.
I did. 713-780-3776. Call now or forever hold your peace if you want to talk Carmelo Anthony. I'm just putting it out there now. I got to put my foot down because, look, you know that all day long it's going to be the same thing. Hey, guys, just wanted to see if you think the Rockets should go get Carmelo Anthony. So let's just put it out there now.
Yeah, okay, so...
I'll let you go first.
Oh, no, but here's the thing. All right, so we set this up for you. If you listen to our show, you know you're going to get the best information first, and at least in our minds. And we said, look, Oklahoma City is spending way too much money to be on... The record is saying they're going to keep Carmelo Anthony. They're so far over the cap that in order to kind of make sense of it all and not have to pay a luxury tax bigger than the cap itself, they're going to have to cut bait on Carmelo Anthony. That's allowing them to sign Nerlens Noel, bring back Grant. With all that being said, and all the Daryl Morey's been enamored with Carmelo Anthony in the past, all the way up through last season, you don't need Carmelo Anthony on this team. You don't need to see a guy come in cold shooting 37-footers if he even agrees to play on the bench. If you think he's the guy that's going to replace Trevor Ariza, the only good thing about it is he'll probably come on the cheap because he's going to get all of his money spread out over the stretch clause from OKC. But other than that, he literally, I don't think, could do anything but hurt that team.
I mean... It's funny because he didn't like his role. He wanted to be a three, and they put him as a stretch four in OKC, and he didn't like that role. And you're looking at a team in the Rockets that need both a three and a stretch four. So I could see him being asked to play both of those roles at some point. How happy would he be with that? And never mind the fact that in the locker room, he's got the reputation of being a guy that – doesn't have the best reputation. And he's a guy that needs the ball in his hands. And he's already coming from a situation where he didn't have the ball in his hands all the time, and he didn't like that role. And you've got two superstars already. If Eric Gordon is here when he comes, now you got three guys that need the ball, plus Capella. There's just not enough ball for Carmelo Anthony on this team because he doesn't warrant being the third star. And that's part of the problem is if you were talking about adding a Paul George to this team or somebody of that ilk, then yeah, you got enough ball to go around for three superstars. But you can't not be a superstar but expect to get the ball like one. And that's the problem with Carmelo Anthony.
There you have it. I mean, look, I think he ends up in L.A.
Yep.
I said it all along, even if it's just the short term again, because it's not a big risk with what you're going to have to pay him. But he has a place in L.A. in the offseason. That's where we saw the videos of him and Harden and Chris Paul and Ariza and all those guys where they work out at UCLA.
Yeah.
So it's just a natural. We know LeBron needs help, whether he's officially asking for help or not, which is another story out there. But the fact of the matter is, I think that's where he ends up because at least for a year, he'll probably start. Excuse me. And on top of starting, he's friends with LeBron. So he'll have an avenue to try and reprove himself.
Yeah. There's different things going on with OKC right now. They are looking for a trade. They're looking for a team that's just looking to dump salary, basically, and have that expiring contract off the books next year. So that's obviously the first thing they want to do because it frees up a ton of money for them. But they have that stretch clause that you mentioned where they can spread it out over 3 years, which actually saves them $107 million in total combined money on their payroll. But I'm with you. I think that a team like LA, you know, is because he probably would want to play with LeBron, and they need to, you know, Magic needs to add some other stars or perceived stars around LeBron James at this point. What scares me about this, though, is that the Rockets probably think the same thing. A guy like Daryl Morey, for all that he does well, he also wants to make a splash. And I think that this team and that front office also, you know, to a certain degree, like to appease the fans. They want their fans to like them.
Oh boy, do they.
And they feel like if they could add a Carmelo Anthony, which they've pursued in the past, and you've talked about how Morey falls in love with some of these guys and goes after them no matter what. Look at Dwight Howard. The first time they didn't get him, they got him an older Dwight Howard, and it didn't work out. And so you worry that he's going to do the same thing with Melo. And I hope that's not the case. But, I mean, at this point, you feel like the Rockets might, there's a lot of fans that are pretty upset, and you feel like the Rockets might just be grasping a little bit at straws here to try to just make a splash.
That's at Barry is funny. He has just said the Rockets may be grasping at straws. So if you want to switch gears and get off of my timeline, that would be fantastic.
That really bothered you.
I got tired of it. That's why I went the next day and did it. And, you know, one of the guys actually started sending me messages. I heard your barbs yesterday. And actually, I don't live in my mom's basement. I live upstairs. But he tried to sick AJ on me, I found out.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He was like, hey, AJ, kick Joel's ass.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, so he needed guys to fight his battles and everything else just because he opened up a can of worms he couldn't go fishing with. But at the same time, I gave you both sides yesterday on Twitter, but it's not about trying to be hateful to the Rockets. It's about being honest. And right now, I think anybody that's a rational basketball fan, even Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fans, have to admit, it's been a less than eventful and less than impressive offseason so far.
That's what worries me about them adding him, is that that's going to be their, quote, splash.
And it's a great point.
It's not a good splash. So, all right. Stuart wants to talk Melo. Stuart, what's up?
Yeah, I grew up in Denver. I watched Melo be a cancer and watch him grow, that tumor grow until he destroyed the franchise. I live now in Houston. I went into remission for a good number of years. Just please, I don't want that back. I don't want that back. We did well enough without him. What I mean, he had two other All-Stars with him. What did he do last year? Nothing. So I'm going to go. Don't bring him here, please. Go
Amen, Stuart. I like that. Good because show, guys. Yeah, thanks, but appreciate the call. Happy weekend. I like the fact that you've got a guy that cheered for a franchise where Melo played, where Melo was probably the best Melo we've seen.
I was just going to say, if you lived in Denver, I thought that call was going to go a different way.
Me too.
Because you saw him in his prime.
He was the best Melo as the Melo in Denver. And you've got guys that were our Denver Nuggets fans that were like, you guys, you don't want this cat in your locker room. And don't forget, too, wasn't he at the Knicks when D'Antoni was there? Wasn't an issue?
No, that was a huge deal when they were trying to bring him here the last time.
Also not a thing that would make
literally,
sense.
D'Antoni resigned rather than having to coach Carmelo anymore because he knew Carmelo wasn't a fan of his.
Yep.
And they had butted heads so bad that ownership met with both parties, and D'Antoni finally just went, you know what? I know you're not going to get rid of him, so I'll just do it for you. I'm out.
Yep.
So that's absolutely a big point to be taken into all of this. And the other thing is, and there's a story that goes with it, that supposedly in Denver, George Karl, when he basically took over that franchise, he met with all the basketball people and said, we got to get rid of this guy now. This guy, before we can't get anything for him, has got to go. He's just not going to be the kind of superstar we need. Everybody looked at him like he was crazy. It ended up getting him fired. And oh, by the way, George Karl was exactly right.
Yeah. So well, that's it. Thank you for participating in the Melo.
Now, Mark Steinberry.
I know we're going to get calls and tweets.
You're going to love this, too.
Okay.
Mark Stein, who is a very reliable and trusted NBA source, is tweeting out, amongst the teams that have interest in Carmelo Anthony once he secures his free agency,
Rockets.
Your Houston Rockets.
And L.A. And who was the other one?
Him list the Rockets, but
I think I saw the Heat on that list. Yeah, the Heat. Yeah, thanks, Harrison. Yeah. Rockets, Heat, and Lakers. There's your three.
He's got relatives here, but he's got a crib in L.A. I just think it makes too much sense.
I'm rooting for L.A.
Yeah, I'm
really rooting hard for L.A.
I'm absolutely doing that. And the fact of the matter is, he doesn't want to come off the bench. So
no.
There's plenty of space in L.A. for that.
Hey, shout out to NASCAR Johnny. He said, driving from Livingston, Texas back to Austin right now, the daughter has SpongeBob SquarePants going in the back, and I have you all to drown out that sound. So appreciate you, NASCAR Johnny, as always. I love the fact that he was here forever when the show started. Yeah. He was a day one guy. Moved to Austin, still listening. That's why we love you, Johnny.
And Riley's a huge Thunder fan, and he's like, what would OKC look for in a Melo trade? Got a thank you note.
Relief.
A thank you note and relief. That's it. Don't take anything back. Just be happy he is out the door. Look, and lock it behind him.
We'll send you Melo. You send us like a tub of that Gatorade powder that we can put in the water, and we'll call it even. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm totally good. Bye.
Yep.
See ya. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. If you follow Barry's orders, that means that's they it
won't.
On Mello.
They won't.
But we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But we're just getting started. Only a half hour in, 3 hour show on an FEF Friday. We are HRP listener line open. That means 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour in to an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects. Harrison is flailing his arms around watching what? Soccer?
Soccer. Belgium.
He loves soccer, apparently. Oh. I knew I didn't like this kid for a reason.
Man.
Come on.
So
guys.
He goes, Belgium scored. It's 1-0. And apparently it was a Brazil own goal. So somebody texted the show and said, well, Brazil just scored on Brazil. Someone's going to die.
What was it like, Harrison, growing up with Tyler as your big brother?
That's actually pretty funny because my brother went to high school with Tyler.
Wow. Is that right? You get, yeah, they so were he's kind of a Tyler. Hero to you? So they were switched at birth, or you just decided you wanted to look like him? Only a skinnier version.
Like me, I think.
All right, let's get these Mello texts out of the way. Because
I thought you were done.
Well, they occurred during the segment, so I owe it to him. I didn't want to read and get the... So we got, I'll put money on the Rockets going after Mello. He will destroy the franchise from within. There is the bleep Carmelo. Okay, I've said my piece. That was from Miguel. And then can we just skip Mello and just get Lala? I'd buy that for a dollar. And then
was that from Jerome?
Right. Yo, you might keep texting about Lala's booty as well. So,
I mean, look, here's the other thing. I've getting a lot of people saying I still want Jimmy Butler. But to give, to get, you have to give. What are you giving that Minnesota wants when Minnesota doesn't want to give up Jimmy Butler? It's not going to happen, people.
Yep. So just not going
to
happen.
Move on to more realistic targets, like point guards that shoot 21% from three. They're available. You can get those guys cheap. Well, you know.
Yeah. Aaron Spita said, bring it today, fellas. Make the show rain down from the heavens, please. Family's gone. I'm day drinking on the back porch listening to you and watching Drunk History between breaks. I've never watched Drunk History, but I've heard it's a pretty good show. I did.
What is it?
It's on, I think it's on Comedy Central, but it's like these people get drunk and reenact history like things, like George Washington crossing the Delaware, and they're drunk and then they do it. Ashley Barnhill is on the show, or used to be. I don't know if she still is, but she's the opener for Dave Chappelle, and I got to feature for her at the Joke Joint. So she was pretty cool. She's pretty funny, and I was talking to her about the show. She said it's a lot of fun that. But I was like, I didn't tell her, but I'm thinking I've never seen it, but I hear people watching it. So it must be decent. I may have to just check it out. Now, if Arian's Fetus is watching, that means it's probably pretty good.
Okay.
Jerry texted in or tweeted in. He said, I'm driving back from Livingston. The kid is in the back listening to The Usual Suspects, and I have SpongeBob SquarePants on in the front trying to drown it out.
Our guy, Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry. I hate you, Jerry.
Jerry, you wanted to play hoops tomorrow? Good luck finding a game.
Your stupid-ass eyebrows. What is this? Patrick?
Pluck yourself, Jerry. That means the eyebrows.
Watch out.
Hey, I don't know. We'll go take what you want to take.
Oh, all right. What does Patrick want to do? Patrick wants to talk Rockets. If he runs, Harrison, listen, put Pod Patrick up. But if he says the words Carmelo and Anthony or just Mello, you're hanging up on him. Deal? Okay. Patrick, what's up?
Hey, guys. So, listen, I'm curious. Is the lack of free agents coming to Houston more of a reflection on Daryl Morey's inability to bring you know, big names to a team that was just, you know, a hamstring away from going to the finals? Or is it a reflection on the city of Houston itself? And I'm not trying to be a douche. It's a legitimate question, I think. I would talk Chicago, as you know, but the best I got is a Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler reunion, you know.
Ain't happening.
That's just a BS rumor.
Yeah.
And no one wants to talk about that, Patrick.
Hey, appreciate the call, Patrick. It's a valid question, especially when you're talking about the Daryl Morey side of things.
I don't know. Surprisingly, Tex, it's not going to be to kill Daryl Morey on this one.
Yeah, I don't know that people are that free agents aren't coming to Houston because of Houston. There's actually a lot of players love this city. And the fact that Texas has no state income tax. So there's a lot of good reasons to get housing is cheap. A player can buy a mansion down here and pay about a third of what they would pay if they lived somewhere else in most basketball cities. So I don't think that's the case. I think it has more to do with just money. I don't think it's Daryl Morey either.
It's not the city, because more athletes in all of the three major sports, even if they don't play here, live here in the offseason or have a house here. Exactly. Shaq has a house here. A lot of people do, simply because of exactly what Barry said. It's not the city, so don't think it's the city. And it's not Daryl either. I mean, look, Daryl's rubbed a lot of general managers the wrong way and has different relationships in the league. But that has nothing to do with free agents that want to come here, nor the agents. And again, he's pissed some agents off. Let's not be – that's in case you have – the newsflash, that's a fact.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, too, it's not him. There's two things, and Barry, you touched on one of them. In order to get these guys – and even guys like they were talking about Hezonja before he signed when it was a bidding war between the Blazers and the Knicks – it was for $6.5 million, but at the present time, the Rockets couldn't clear $6.5 million on their cap with their cap holds for Capella and Bamute and everything they were trying to do. So they're really hamstrung right now. No pun intended, Chris Paul, by the fact that they don't have the money right now. That might change. And here's the other thing that you aren't going to like if you're a Rockets fan, but it is also a fact, and that is the one detriment that is keeping free agents from signing here is James Harden.
Ooh, you think so?
He has the hand. He has his hand, he has his hands on the ball a lot. He dribbles it by himself a lot, and a lot of players, especially like when we talk about systematic fits, a lot of players think twice before going. Do I want to go to a place where I'm not going to see it as much? I'm going to be, you know, a third or fourth fiddle. And again, it's the free agent's priorities. Do I want to go and win, or am I trying to, you know, prove that I am a certain level player in this league? But I've heard from a lot of people that said a lot of free agents think twice because they don't know if they can play alongside and with James Harden. That's just a discussion.
I find that interesting because when you look at what he has done and the fact that Chris Paul did come here and they were able to make it work and they got within a game of the finals with James Harden, and he's done it again with Dwight Howard. He was in the Western Conference Finals, and this is a guy that's been MVP or runner-up for, what did we say, three of the last 4 years or four of the last five or whatever the hell it is. It surprises me to hear you say that, because I would think some guys, even if they do require the ball, I would think that James Harden, you would feel, would give you a better chance because he's the only one that's reached that. I mean, he's doing things that guys like, you know, excluding the Warriors, but when you look at LeBron, and I mean, Westbrook has an MVP, but he's not sniffed the Western Conference. Or,
well, there's a reason why OKC doesn't have a whole lot of free agents knocking on their door either.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, but I'm saying, like, at least James, he's proving that he can get to the playoffs in advance.
But what he's proving right now is all about,
which is a completely different thing.
Too, he's proving himself.
But the results speak for itself too, doesn't it?
But again, like I said, if you're in a team where, and we've talked about this during the course of the run in the playoffs, if you're a team that at least you're going to touch the ball, the ball's constantly moving, you're making back screens, the offense is predicated on movement and ball movement, you feel a part of that. So that therefore you're going to contribute more and exert more energy on the defensive end, and you're going to buy into it. But when you're standing around and watching one guy dribble the 19 seconds of the clock away, and then maybe if he gets stuck, he's going to throw it to you with 2 seconds on the clock to take a really rushed bad shot. Guys don't like that. And I heard this consistently from different players and a lot of different teams and team personnel in the playoffs. as something that a lot of guys feel like they just couldn't fit in on. And I think that the one thing that helps them, Barry, though, is having Chris Paul there, too, because we know that Chris Paul will distribute the ball.
Yeah. I mean, dude, James led this team in assists. He was one of the top assist leaders in the NBA. I think he tends to get a bad rap. Is LeBron a ball hog, or does he just the fact that he's a primary scorer and a premier scorer in the league? I think there's a very fine line, and I can see where James sometimes crosses that line. But I'm just being honest with you.
What I've heard.
No. I think it's okay that we disagree, but I'm just...
To your point, though, on LeBron, the biggest thing is their production offensively went up substantially when LeBron brought the ball up the floor and he predicated getting the team into the offense as opposed to any other point guards. So at least he was resulting in points for other guys or the offense regardless. I mean, I don't know what James's numbers are, but you're right. You can't argue with the numbers that he put up individually last year and three of the last 4 years.
Yeah. I don't know. It's such a fine line with Harden.
It really is.
I feel like with Westbrook, you know he's a ball hog. I mean, that's just, he's proven that. He's a stat whore and a ball hog. And James is a stat whore, but when you look at how he's involved Capella, how the Rockets wouldn't be the three-point shooting team that they are if James never distributed the ball.
True.
The fact is he can create, and that opens up those shots. So it's a fine, I think more like... I guess, look, to me, Harden is on that line between ball hog and just scoring excellence. LeBron is scoring excellence with a guy who is a legitimately great passer. And then there's the other side, which is Westbrook, who's just a ball hog. So Harden's probably somewhere in the middle.
The biggest thing on James's criticism, too, is teams, you know, free agents, especially if they're going to come for cheaper, are coming because they want to win.
Yeah.
And so 65 wins in the regular season is one thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. He's proven that he can win.
But his playoff track record is not great.
Western Conference Finals twice.
Twice, Barry. But at the same time, last year when they should have done it and everybody thought it was their year, he disappeared against San Antonio
and
at the most crucial times of that series.
I get it. And there's that famous picture where D'Antoni's just spinning the clipboard and he's just looking down, and I get it. But you know what? I mean, remember, and I'm not, by God, I can't even believe these words are going to come out of my mouth. But remember, Jordan didn't start making finals his first year in the league. He had to learn, and it was incremental steps for Jordan to become as great as he was. And I feel like Harden has that ability, not like Jordan, but he has the ability to win championships, but he's got to have the right pieces around him. And let's not forget, dude, he's facing one of the greatest teams ever.
Yeah, but let's,
and he's run up against them twice in the playoffs.
And I'll just wrap my point of it up by saying there's just guys out there. You're right. It's a process, and he's learning. But there's just a lot of veterans that don't want to be a part of the process, the learning curve, trying to figure it out because their time is running out. So they need to try and win now, and they have questions.
Somebody said, Barry, isn't there a plug for your show where you're calling Harden a ball hog even though he has all these assists? No, I don't think I called him a ball hog. I said that the knock on him is, yeah, but. Like, he's not a complete player. Yeah, Harden can score, but. That was a promo that I've heard. Anyways.
Okay. Well, you know, if you guys want to kick it around, it's not that guy that we're not talking about anymore. So you can bring that to the table. But otherwise, Brandon, we see you. You want to get Lastros talking here, too. I'm all for that. I know Barry is as well.
Yeah.
And if this is Jerry, we'll see. All right. We'll continue to roll on. It's an FEF Friday on the Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No, Nick. He's in Corpus, enjoying some time off. So Harrison is with us. Welcome, Harrison, again to the program for the second straight day.
That's right.
You didn't even comment. He does look like a anorexic version of Tyler's little brother.
I think you're just being racist.
That's not racist at all.
Yeah, you're just saying white dudes with beards all look alike. I don't think he looks anything like Tyler. That's like saying he looks like Dallas Keuchel.
He even said it was a good call.
But that's like saying he looks like Dallas Keuchel or Sean Doolittle. Or a white James Harden, and I don't see it.
I get Keuchel almost constantly.
Well, there you go. So those people are racist.
Shut up, Harrison. They are racist. It's very racist.
There you go.
All white guys look alike to you, huh, Joel?
That's the complete opposite of what I said. But you should run for president of the United States.
That's what you just said. All white guys look alike.
No, but I think you need to get on Twitter when you're done here. go ahead, pick it.
Well, Brandon's been holding forever, so we got to get to Brandon. He wants to talk Astros.
Okay.
Brandon, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Happy Friday.
Indeed.
I was excited that way back Wednesday was a holiday because I didn't have to hear a Nick Sinatra antagonized over his list for 2 hours and then turn it in 10 minutes before his hour. So that was a nice break on Wednesday. And then Mr. Laminack, I will see you on July 21st.
Nice!
Joke joint. I bought my tickets last night.
Dude, that's badass. So it's going to be fun.
I went to barrysnotfunny.com and bought my tickets. So it was nice. Really easy site to get around. Not a whole lot of hits, though.
I don't like you now. We were cool, and now we're not cool. Although I probably should go out and buy Barry is Not Funny.
Yeah, we've talked about it in the past.
Own that domain, too. That's funny.
So I have one that's right down your alley, Barry. We're coming up on the All-Star break. And as you guys know, I'm a huge Astros fan. I've got a tattoo on my forearm, like a huge Astros fan. So I'm interested to see. I am getting so sick of watching Jake Mariznick strike out with runners in scoring position. I'm tired of seeing him swing at balls out of the zone, and Altuve's getting that way too here lately, but I don't want to hate on the MVP. So I'm interested to see, because Derek Fisher's going to come off the DL on Wednesday, and we're coming into the All-Star break, and roster expansions are going to come up after that shortly. You're the Houston Astros. Doesn't it behoove you to send Mariznick back, or to option him even maybe, and see what we can do to maybe get some of these guys? I mean, 0-14 on the last trip. It's ridiculous that you're coming down to the bottom of the ninth inning against the White Sox, and you're going into extra innings against the Rangers. I mean, these are teams that you're supposed to be blowing out, and on paper, we're supposed to be much better than we are. And I'm not saying, I'm not freaking out or being that traditional Astros fan that's, you know, jumping off the bandwagon right now and going, oh my God, because their record's actually almost identical to what it was last year right now. But I am getting a little anxious and a little nervous because a lot of teams are second half teams. So I'm just interested to see, Barry, what you think maybe these guys will do coming in after the All-Star break to maybe shake things up a little bit and keep the offense rolling and not hit that lull that we hit last year where we lost 20 games or whatever in a month.
Hey, so. Appreciate the call, Brandon. We'll see you in July, man. Thanks a lot. And to answer the question, here's the thing you have to remember. The only reason Jake Mariznick is in the lineup is because Carlos Correa is out. So you can't play Marwin in left. You've got to move Marwin into the infield. So you've got Marwin in there. You've got, which means Springer now plays center has had to play right field. You had Reddick in left field, which means Mariznick is going to play some center field. I expect them to switch that up a little bit, but I think people got too high on Derek Fisher and he kind of came back down to earth a little bit. Jake Mariznick in the lineup isn't ideal for a 3-4 at bat game. But a guy like Jake Mariznick is always going to have value as a late inning defensive replacement, because if you watch what he does out in the field, forget how he's like the Adam Everett of the outfield. Forget him at the plate, but defensively, very few people can flash the leather that he does when he's roaming in center field. So I think he'll always have a spot. He could come in and steal a base for you late. The only reason you're having to see more of him now is injuries. And if this team could stay healthy, then I think Mariznick is just that. He's a replacement and a sub and not an everyday player.
I mean, the funny thing to me is like Derek Fisher, we have heard nothing.
No. That which leads you to believe, is it really injury or is it just a guy that had it and lost it pretty quickly?
Right. Or they just wanted to give some time to kind of take a step back.
Keep his
back.
Trade value up,
yeah,
too,
and
though,
also
remember.
Do that. Right. Yeah. So, and the one thing that I'll add to what you added about Jake Mariznick is, it's that locker room issue. He is so beloved in that locker room, not just by the players. A.J. Hinch loves the guy because he trusts the guy defensively. He knows he's never going to be a problem. He knows he's just happy to be there. And he does have those flashes where he does go long, or, you know, he has a couple of games where he hits the ball. But you're never going to see Jake Marisnyk be a 300 hitter. You're just not going to see, if you're waiting for him to become Tony Kemp of this year, it's not going to happen.
No, and again, I mean, there are guys that have value outside. I mean, he's like a, he's always been. He had a run there in the last couple of years where he'll have a stretch of 30 days where he just hits the cover off the ball. But you're talking about a guy that for his career as a 224 hitter, that's exactly what he is. He's hit 41 home runs in his career. Seven of them are this year. So it's not a guy that you look at and think, that is a professional baseball hitter. No, he's a dude with speed and he's a defensive replacement. So that's what he is. He's a bench player, but he's forced into a role
right
where he has to do more because of injury.
Essentially, so. You hit it on the head because the biggest thing is you don't need him to be an offensive weapon.
No.
You have those when, like you said, if Correa's healthy and the lineup's 100% healthy, you have no need for Jake Marisnyk to be an everyday player that's trying to get you hitting for average power or otherwise. He is your defensive replacement, and he is the guy that gives your guys an occasional day off.
And they talked about his increase in power. He had 16 home runs last year, and that I think has to do with the way that the approach at the plate and launch angle and all those things. That's across baseball, though. Guys are taking a different approach to the plate, but that also means you strike out more. So he's already struck out 68 times in 67 games. Not a good ratio that you want to see there, but. Yeah, I don't know. I think that if that's the worst thing you got going, if you're the Astros, you're in pretty good shape.
No doubt about it. All right, we continue to roll on. We can talk some more Astros. We can talk about a lot of different things, but stay tuned. We got another clip coming up, too, from our comedian of the week, Dale Cheeseman. He'll join us in the 3 o'clock hour as well, so that should be good. And Jerry wants to get in here and talk SpongeBob Square Rockets. So we'll get all that in hour number two. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.